Hey Bootstrappers, welcome to episode 229 of Bootstrapped, the podcast for people running bootstrapped software companies. I'm your host, Steve McLeod. In this episode, a friend of the podcast, Simon Bennett, returns to the show. Simon's the founder of Snapshooter, a backup service. We chat about a generous acquisition offer Simon recently received for his company and why he ultimately decided not to be acquired. And we also chat about Simon's new podcast, Ship SaaS Faster. Simon, so big news in your company since we last talked. Somebody wanted to acquire you.
They did, yes. And it was, I guess, one of the more serious efforts by someone to acquire, not just one of those random emails where someone asks, would you sell your company from a Gmail, but from a known company in the space.
Okay, so you took it genuine from day one.
Yes. It started off with a LinkedIn invitation from someone, and I saw where they worked and their role as the CEO of this company, and I thought, oh, okay, this is. I instantly know why you're messaging me. So.
It's like you do something adjacent to what we do and you're much bigger than us. So I think you're not just doing the network request just to be my friend.
Yes. Yeah. You're a whale in the space. And then I can't imagine you just want to become friends. So
are you public with your revenue?
No.
Okay, so they didn't know how big you were, but they probably could
They
work
did at
it
the
out.
Time. I think I was slightly. When they messaged me, I had been public with the numbers in the last 6 months or so. So they had like a rough estimate, and I guess people could know at that point it was around 20,000.
Okay, healthy was, 5 digits per month.
Yeah, that was
dollars.
So. That was in dollars, and that was. That was maybe 6 months before I messaged them, and then I decided to stop being public.
Okay. Was that part of the reason why you stopped being public?
No, because I did that 6 months before he messaged me. I just didn't want to share anymore, and I have some competitors in the space who seem to like emulating what I do, so I didn't see any value in it. I think initially it helped with sort of marketing and getting like, you know, the likes on Twitter, but other than that, there was no commercial benefit for me doing it.
I think people stop sharing their revenue for two reasons. Either things start going too well and it just becomes uncomfortable for various reasons.
Or
growth stops and they want to share that nothing's happening.
And yeah, exactly.
Okay, so they knew you had a fair idea of your revenue, and you're pretty open about your team. Like, you've just told me that you've got this developer working for you and you have a content person, right?
Yeah, that's right. So they're kind of recent additions since then. So, I have a full-time developer, an editor full-time, and then a technical writer who's freelance.
So do you think this was an acqui-hire that they actually wanted to get you on their team because you had proven that you could build something?
Yes. Yeah, so initially, or what they said was they'd like to basically buy Snapshooter and for me to continue running it, but provide resources of a team and to grow it as a kind of a side. Because it was in an area that they didn't quite do already. It was maybe an area they wanted to look into expanding into. So they wanted to continue running Snapshooter under my leadership. So that would come with the 3-year job.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you would have been no longer like in charge of your own domain, but you would have been answering to somebody else, having to work their hours, beg for holidays, etc.
Yeah, that did play into the reason I didn't accept in the end was those reasons. You know, having to explain myself why I go to the gym during the working hours.
Yeah.
And things like that. Also, I didn't really like the idea of, as you say, working 3 years at my own company that's no longer my own company.
Is that a good part of why you became doing what you're doing? I think you told me last time we talked that 2 years ago, the start of the pandemic helped you take the plunge into running Snapshooter full time. But was that partly because you wanted to be in charge of your own time? Is that,
I've always wanted to be in charge of my own time. I think I started my first company when I was 16 and had ambitions to never work for anybody else. Then I went to university and did a stint, I guess, of working for somebody else, which was great for experience and it was fun. But ultimately I wanted to just be my own boss. So.
And as the team's growing, are you finding that actually the company somehow is taking over your time anyway?
I'm finding myself being filled up with things I didn't need to. I'd even thought about like writing references for people, payroll, which I thought would just be simple, but it's not actually simple, and things like that. Yeah, and there's a lot more management stuff than that I initially sort of anticipated.
Peldy from Balsamic talks about how he started his company intending it to be a company of one.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that the product he was creating was not one that naturally fitted into being a company of one. And now he's found himself in a company of 30-something and had to really adjust his mindset to deal with the fact that he's ended up with a company much bigger than he intended. And for me, this is almost a cautionary tale.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't he, though? So.
He is. Yeah.
If you think, I didn't plan to start a company of one. I did always want to have, I don't know, like a self-sufficient machine. I don't think you can achieve that on your own.
Right. You can't. Back to the acquisition. We're getting sidelined here.
Yes.
So they contacted you. They knew your revenue. And they just made you an offer outright, or was there a little bit of whining and dining, romancing happening first?
Well, the big time zone difference, I mean, I guess that narrowing down who it is with all these things, aren't I? But so we did an initial meeting where he just sort of found out whether I was interested or not, and it did pique my interest. And then he wanted me to have a meeting and go through all the technical aspects of Snapshooter with their CTO and technical team. But I decided that I didn't want to do that unless they really showed their hand with what their intent was. Because I didn't feel like I need to show off the product as such. So then we had like a frank meeting where he then sort of expressed that what he wanted to do was acquire for me to hang around for 3 years, how an equity split would work, blah, blah, blah. And then I could go and talk to the technical team and then they could come back with a more, I guess, more accurate number of what they value the company. So I kind of have a floaty number from the CEO, but who knows what due diligence or anything would have said, because I didn't take it further than that.
Okay. And the number he offered was good, in your opinion?
It was very good. So I guess everyone knows that it was 20,000 whatever a year
so
ago.
So it was substantially higher than the normal valuations we hear for selling a SaaS.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah. See, there's ways you can say stuff while we're still being very vague. And anybody who's ever thought of selling the SaaS, and I think all of us at some point think of selling our businesses, at least entertain the idea, and then we go to sites like FE International, and they're very open there about what they typically sell businesses as a multiple of revenue or profit. Okay, and compared to that, this was a very generous offer.
It was, it was many multiples more than FE International. I have talked to FE International over the years about things, but it was more than, quite a bit more than what FE International multiple would be, so.
You mentioned equity, so it wasn't just cash up front?
No, so that was one of the things I wanted to know. So he said it depended on what they value the company, but they wanted to do half cash, half equity, which would be vested based off performance. So it kind of got worse and worse, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
Like it's not all cash, it's stocks, okay, well... They are publicly traded, so that helps, and at least you'll be able to sell them. But it's also performance related, and you're like, okay.
Okay, and it's completely out of your control what that stock is actually worth when
that's
it's
true.
Vested.
Yes, Yeah, that's true. And also, I guess, in a way, the performance metrics are kind of beyond your control.
And so, on top of that, you would have to work for them for 3 years as a paid, as a salaried employee, I guess. Probably a generous salary, but still.
Yes.
Had you talked about salary?
I didn't get into salary discussion.
Okay. And then the diligence with the technical team might have caused them to say, actually, we've revised our offer. And now what you've done is you've told another company a whole lot about the internals of how you operate. And now they're... I feel nervous about that. Like, are these people just planning to build what I've already done if I say no, or even if I say yes?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, they're a big enough company to throw, in theory, whatever resources they want after it. So I'm not sure an hour-long meeting with me would have really made a difference either way, if that makes sense. I guess you could see maybe they wouldn't be agile enough to build it as a big team anyway, or, they could throw whatever they want and get it done. But I just thought at that point, like, the offer kind of over the phone was going to be the top end. And with everything else on top, it just became less appealing. So,
yeah, I'm going to throw in.
I can imagine that the due diligence was going to make it even less appealing.
I'm just going to throw out a nice round number that has nothing to do with the value of your company or anything, just to illustrate a point. So let's say a big company sets a budget of $1 million to get a new product to market. That $1 million does not go very far in a big company. They're going to put 5 or 10 staff in it, plus they need to resource that staff and service and so on. And they'd very quickly go through that and maybe not even have a product to show. So I can understand why a company might want to say, instead of putting this money into trying to build a product, we'll just acquire a product that we know has already got everything working. So I can see where they would be coming from, why, even though you think they could build it themselves.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I've worked on projects in big companies where they've put in millions and at the end of the day, there was nothing to show for it because... it was mismanaged, or maybe because I'm a bad developer. I don't know. No, I'm assuming it was the management.
You're always the management, yeah. You are a manager now, isn't it, aren't you? So it's kind of...
Yeah. It's all my fault now.
Yeah, exactly.
So you then, without even going too much into it, you just told them, look, I'm not interested in continuing with this discussion?
Yeah, correct, yeah. So, talked with the wife about it, because obviously... The headline figure is obviously attractive, but I mean, she was worried about what I would do after 3 years. I think she's very worried I'm going to have a complete identity crisis when if I ever sell the company.
Yeah, probably. Or you just start a new one the next day after you finish your 3 years.
Yeah, I guess she's a bit more cautious, so I think she'd be worried that. It's like it's hard enough to come up with a good idea in the first place. So don't take your good idea and get rid of it.
So you replied via LinkedIn or via email to say after consideration I'm not progressing.
Yes.
Okay. When it came to clicking the send button, how were you feeling?
Relief, to be honest, because. It just takes up so much mental capacity just thinking about it. So to actually be able to send it and to be just like, well, I no longer have to think about this. I no longer need to provide an answer. It's like, there it is. End of discussion. I can now go back and kind of excited really for what I could continue to do on Snapshooter. Like it does in a way give you some energy.
Oh, that's really interesting. The relief I understand, but it actually energized you. Because you made the decision, I'm not selling, I'm going to keep building it.
Yeah, exactly. And like, what am I going to do now on the product? What are we going to do to, I don't know, beat them, crush them?
Crush them.
Yeah, exactly.
And were they generous in their response to you? Or did they just not answer?
Absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely. And like, the door is always open kind of thing. So.
Excellent. So you're not having any regrets?
Oh, no, not at all. No, I was definitely relieved once it was sent. It wasn't, not the time, not ready to sell, so.
What was the total time frame of this whole experience?
I think it was about a month, really.
And during that time, you said it ate up a lot of mental energy. Was it disruptive to your business?
Probably. yeah, I guess so.
Well, I want to say congratulations for going through that and being very clear what you wanted. It sounds great. It's a way of forcing you to be very clear in your ambitions. Or,
funny enough, I actually wasted more time when Snapshooter was 6 months old with people emailing asking to buy the business, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
So that took like less mental power, but it did waste more time. I don't know. Have you ever had it where people emailed you and just kind of float the idea of buying you when they don't? I guess when they think you're small and
I've had a couple.
They can like cash grab, or I'm not sure cash grab's the right saying, but when they think they can acquire you for little to nothing.
I don't know. I'm a very suspicious person, so I say I've had a couple, but it's actually way more than a couple. And I never quite sure if the people just trying to guess, they're just trying to get internal information about the company for their own purposes. They're not actually interested in acquiring.
Oh yeah, I've had that. I've had that as a separate sort of thing.
Okay.
The funniest one is I did have someone do that, and they're like, "How many customers do you have? How like much of your business is split between this and this?" And I'm like, "Why are you asking this? Oh, I'm an interested customer, blah blah blah, and I want to know the product is backed properly." I'm like, "All right, you know, raise your eyebrows, don't bother to answer." And then I joined a Discord community 6 months later, and I just, you know, every so often I just search when I joined a Discord community about dev, I just search for Snapshooter, see if anyone's mentioned. And there he was.
Oh, no.
All the screen grabs of the conversation, asking people about how to build this. And to be fair to everyone else in the community, they were going, "I wouldn't bother." Like, this isn't the way to start a business. But yeah, it's like, typical.
Another one I had with my previous product that I've now sold was somebody saying, for a case study in my business degree,
yes,
I've decided I'm going to do your product. So I need to know, it wasn't like, please tell me, it's like, I need to know your, how many customers do you have, sales per month, number of employees, blah, 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 all these things. It's like, oh, profitability is like, this is not somebody's case study. You're just trying to work out if my business is something you could recreate yourself.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Like that person who recently emailed everyone with the, like, was it a takedown notice?
Oh yeah,
they did that blast email. Like that was gave me the same vibes of someone doing like a.
And there was some from some university's department of, I can't even remember what department. They were doing research into privacy, how companies treat privacy concerns, and they pretended they were somebody they weren't. Basically, very unethical. Freaked me out, actually.
It did until I went on, I messaged someone else and they're like, "Oh, I got the same email." So I was just like, "Oh, okay, at that point, I'm not going to bother to."
I wonder if somebody got sacked over that or got kicked out.
Yeah.
So the other one, you said like after the company was 6 months old, you did get some people inquiring. I also wonder if they're just somebody new at a venture capital fund or an equity company, and they're just... their job is just to do this. Like they have to go and look for potential deals, and they're just writing the same email to everybody they can find. This is what I also suspect.
Yeah, perhaps.
And that if I actually respond to it, I'll find out that it goes nowhere and eats my time.
Yeah, I stopped getting back to people. So
you don't even bother responding, right?
No, I don't know. So
just one of those mini emails you get when your company takes off from people every day. Every day. God.
Yeah. I mean, it does beat the like app development ones and the SEO ones I get every day.
Yeah.
It's really hard every day not to message back something rude when they email the urgent email support ticket line we've got.
Oh, it's for customers
who are having problems restoring backups, and it's like, it sets every alarm off when it goes, because I think that's really key that if a customer wants to restore their backups and they're having problems, they can get through to someone. But yeah, it's not appropriate for someone to try and sell SEO services on. And yeah, every time I think there's actually no point replying rudely, but I really want to.
Yeah, I have to admit, once or twice I may have written something really rude to such an email, but of course it achieves nothing.
It doesn't even make me feel better.
So let's move on to your new podcast, because you know,
what
the world has is a shortage of two guys getting on the microphones each week and talking about the businesses. But this is what you've just started doing.
Yes, yeah. So me and my friend Vulcan, who runs for Solu, which is kind of a Webflow competitor in a way, like a CMS building website builder, have started a weekly, hopefully, show where we just kind of do product updates and talk all things SaaS, really.
So why, Simon? Why?
Because I like doing it. I don't really mind if people listen, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy having like a catch up with someone who's in the same space. Because I have no real world friends who have any idea what SaaS or product or anything is like. So it's kind of, I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And hopefully other people enjoy it.
Yeah. You're living in Norfolk, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's not much of a community there of similar-minded people.
I mean, maybe I need to look harder, but no, not on the face of it. Not a big community of SaaS owners. Yeah. Quite a few agency owners, but...
I think you've probably nailed it there with your answer as to why we do these types of podcasts. It's because, like, it's somebody to talk to. And also, it helps you connect to other people out in the internet who are doing similar things. And, yeah. It's really nice. So you've started it. You've done how many episodes so far?
We've done three. Number three is in the editing with the editor. So there's two public. It's called Ship SaaS Faster. You can find it at shipsaasfaster.com.
Okay. I was actually looking for that before the call, and I could only find a Transistor page. I couldn't find the actual page.
Oh, okay.
For it.
We probably haven't done a very good job of promoting it.
Ship. Yeah. Just typing that now into the Googles.
Into the Googles.
There it is. Okay. It's the same Transistor page, but it's on your custom domain. Okay.
That's the one.
Make sure that's in the show notes, of course. The first episode is called Unnamed Podcast. I haven't listened to it all the way through, but I'm assuming by the end of it, you decided to give the podcast the name Ship SaaS Faster.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to put loads of buzzwords in it to try and get it to come up in the searches, but I wasn't so keen.
Rob Walling's, it was back when he was doing the podcast with Mike Tabor, they made sure they put the word startup in the name so that people search for startups.
Yeah, I wanted the SaaS faster bootstrapped, not funded. Product podcast, but we decided that Ship SaaS Faster was probably a better way.
A whole ton of podcasts and blogs and conferences rebranded themselves in the last few years to put SaaS in their name, I think for similar reasons. So why the name? Tell me why that specific name, apart from helping it for Googleability.
Well, that's the truth. I don't know. I guess it's something that me and Vulcan have always talked about, which is just trying to get things done quicker or getting stuff pushed to production and live and in front of people faster than them. Because we've been in a few communities together and we've seen lots of people wanting to start products and have never really... I don't know, got past the published threshold. So I think that was a big reason behind the name.
Okay, so it sort of captures your philosophy, that's too grand a word,
yes.
But
yeah.
you're thinking ethos, towards releasing products, get them out the door very quick.
Yes, and that can go to features and stuff, so.
Okay, and content and marketing.
Yeah, that's probably what it should have been called, is focus more on marketing, but...
Okay. So apart from just giving you a chance to catch up with a fellow SaaS bootstrapper, I guess, is he also a bootstrapper?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It says there in the tagline, two bootstrap SaaS founders giving weekly podcast updates about shipping product. So the format, it's just the two of you chatting. That's the way you're going to keep it?
Yes. Yeah. I like that format.
Okay. And I noticed your first two episodes are both less than 30 minutes long. Is that intentional?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think I'll run out of stuff to talk about after half an hour.
And do you have any aim for this in the long term, or beyond just a place to chat and catch up?
I don't think so. It'd be nice to at least get to 100 episodes. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice to see if we can try and keep up at least a sort of 3 a month kind of cadence.
Yeah, that's nice. So 3 a month, that will take like... 3 years, I guess, to get to 100 episodes.
Now you put it like that.
You know, I recently announced that I'm going to end this podcast at episode 250, and I think this will be episode 229 depending on the backlog, I'm sort of losing track.
To be in it before you can it, yeah.
And actually, it's because I've been doing it for 3 years and I realized, like, that's a good amount of time. You know, I don't need to do something forever. Everything needs to end sooner or later. And in three years, I think that's like 2.5 years longer than most podcasts last.
Yes. Yeah. And 200 and something episodes more than most podcasts last. Yeah. When you said on the podcast that you were potentially thinking of passing it on to somebody else, I thought that's amazing because it was... I love that this podcast has been going for so long.
It's like 9 years now. And of course it was handed over to me after 105 episodes. So and this somebody in mind I have, who I think would be, the right person, but we'll see how that works out. Nothing to announce yet about that, but but also if that doesn't work out, I'm quite happy just to say, that's it. We'll leave it at 250. I'll keep paying the hosting fees for a few years so that the backlog
is
still there.
There was a pause. There was a quite a big pause, wasn't there, between?
I guess it was more than a year pause.
Yeah.
And even then, like before the pause, I think there was like the episodes were coming very, very sporadically.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've tried to keep it to 2 or 3 a month. When things are going well, we managed to get one out every month for a while, but I've got a business to run and family, and it's really hard. And then, and because the podcast itself is not really achieving, doesn't have any major aim for me, it's like, it's quite easy to say, well, we're skipping an episode this week.
I did wonder that with our podcast. So obviously Vulcan has got a product for building startup pages, for building websites. So that's kind of useful for people wanting to start SaaS companies. And I run a backup company, which is useful for everyone online. So there is a bit of promo available there where...
Yeah. At least it's somewhere to put in some backlinks to things you want backlinks for.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's not the only reason I'm on today. Yeah.
Right. It's all about the backlinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably more truth than that than people realize with a lot of podcast appearances. Yeah. But actually, I was very interested to hear about this acquisition that didn't happen. I think all of us with businesses are interested to know what we might be able to sell for and what the process might be like, and wonder what we would actually do if a very generous offer came in.
Yeah, I have talked to, that's a good point. I have talked to FE International a few times and had them kind of throw a rough value around. And I don't know whether that was it was quite serious within the first couple of years, but it's become like, nah, I'm all right, I'll keep going. The longer I've left it. So it's interesting. Obviously last time I talked to them, I didn't have anyone on staff and I mentioned that I would be hiring someone. And it was interesting to hear what they would say, like, well, that does affect your profit margins, but then also if you build it up to where you were, then the company is in a much better place.
Oh really? That's interesting. They want you to have a team.
Yeah. And this is why actually I've learned about from other people as well, but when a big company wants to acquire you, if you have a team, it's kind of more appealing than having single because, point of failure. Yeah. That's why they want to vest you for 3 years and keep you around, because if you walk away after, month one and say no thanks to the vesting, they're left in an awkward situation, I guess.
It takes a long time also to build up a good team, and sounds like you're on that path, and it's so I can understand too why that is a very positive thing for an acquisition. Some people, their early growth from their SaaS is very much about their own personality and outgoing nature on a lot of platforms, social media and forums and whatever, and conferences, and that's something very hard to reproduce once you're out of the picture.
That's something I'm trying to I keep thinking I want to make Snapshooter look more professional, slightly less attached to me. So,
speaking of podcasts and Snapshooter, I also noticed that you did have a podcast released on your website of Snapshooter, but it's just one episode.
Yes, there should be another one tomorrow. So I started a podcast called another one called Pushing to Production, where I talk with product owners just around the technical aspect of their company. How do they host it? What does it cost to host? What challenges do you face? How do you do your backups? And I've got one to publish tomorrow with Ed. So,
The one with Ed's finally coming up.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, I think everyone's probably a bit annoyed it took so long. I tied it in with releasing our new marketing website, and it just took so long. So I've recorded all the episodes in January and February, and I thought we'd be finished and ready to publish by the end of February, but no, we weren't.
Okay. And that's Pushing to Production, which can be found on the snapshooter.com website.
Yeah, snapshooter.com/podcast.
Okay, gotcha. And tell us again where we find Ship SaaS Faster.
ShipSaaSFaster.com.
Oh, you know how to get the right names.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, let's wrap things up. It's been great hearing from you. Thank you for being so willing to tell us about the acquisition that didn't happen.
Yes.
I think we've managed to avoid dropping any confidential information we weren't allowed to say.
There weren't any NDAs or anything. But I think more of an understanding. But yeah, I guess if anyone is really interested and has more specific questions, they can just message me on Twitter and I'll see what I will reveal.
And on Twitter, you are?
At Mr. Simon Bennett.
With two N's and two T's.
Correct.
Yep. Okay, and snapshooter.com is the company that give us. You actually haven't given us the blurb for snapshooter.com. Tell us why people should care about Snapshooter.
Oh, yeah, okay. If you want to back up your servers, databases, applications like WordPress or Laravel and stuff like that, we've got them all covered. So come check us out.
That's like scheduled backups happening on a daily, weekly cycle.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah, we'll end it there. Thanks everybody for listening. And thanks again, Simon, for coming onto the show at very short notice, I should add.
Yeah. No worries. Thank you for having me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.